The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. This is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Seems as if we live in troubled times. That can probably be said throughout the ages, simply because we live in a troubled world since the fall of Adam and Eve. But there's things in our lives that seem to trouble us more than others, or send us into moods of sadness or melancholy, or maybe even anger at times, or frustration, or of not understanding, a way that seems that we just don't have any control over our lives, and there seems to be a darkness that descends upon it. And again, there's many things that can affect us in that way. Maybe it's just the politics that are going on. Maybe it's the world events that are going on, or fright of terrorism. Maybe it's something more personal, such as going through a divorce, or trouble with your family, trouble with your parents, trouble with your children. Worrying about your children, whether they're still at home or whether they are away. Maybe it's the loss of a job and wondering, how will I feed my family, or how will I make ends meet? Maybe it is because of a death of someone close to you, a friend, a parent, a spouse, a child. And we just can't seem to get out of that mood. Everything seems dark. Everything seems to be overwhelming. Or we get frustrated. We get angry of what's going on. This text this morning from Matthew's Gospel is a troubling text. I always have trouble with this one. I guess particularly because of that dialogue between Jesus and the woman whose daughter is possessed by a demon. But it's also troubling in the beginnings of it, because I think everybody in this is frustrated or is in darkness or is just angry, and you can just feel the tension within this gospel text. First of all, look at the Pharisees and the role of how they are feeling and what they're dealing with. The Pharisees are upset with Jesus, with this upstart. He has no official training. He has no certificates. He did not study under one of the famous or more prestigious rabbis. Where did he come from? Where does he get his authority? Why do the crowds follow him and not us? Why do people look to him? Where did he get this ability for these so-called signs that come from God? They're frustrated with Jesus. And they send their best Pharisees and their scribes to come and try to trap him and discredit him. Right before our gospel lesson today is another one of those traps. And they get in the argument of why don't your disciples wash their hands in the ritual way that they are supposed to do before they eat? The scribes are just, they're frustrated with Jesus. They can't get rid of him. He's a thorn in their side. And they're starting to get angry. And soon, they will start looking for a solution to permanently get rid of him. And then there's the disciples here in our lesson today. The disciples, too, are confused. They have misunderstandings. They, too, are probably getting very frustrated at this point. Here in the gospel lesson, they're worried about Jesus. I mean, they've given up their lives, they've given up their livelihood to come and follow Jesus along with him and to be with him day after day. But they don't understand him. And they're worried for him. They see him as the Messiah, the one sent from God. But yet he doesn't act like it. Why is he getting into arguments with the religious leaders? They're not supposed to be the enemies, are they? Why isn't Jesus starting to build up an army? Why isn't he recruiting soldiers? Why isn't he training warriors? Why isn't he putting together strategic plans to throw the Romans out of the country? If he is to restore Israel, why isn't he doing anything about it? If he's supposed to be the Savior, where's the plans? Where's the action? Instead, Jesus is getting into arguments with the religious leaders, and they're supposed to know the things about God. They just don't understand. And again, here in this gospel lesson, they come to Jesus and say, please explain what you're saying to us. They don't understand. The Pharisees have blinders on. The disciples as well just don't get it. Also here, you can see the frustration in Jesus in this gospel lesson today. The rhetoric is starting to ratchet up just a little bit of his frustration as well, of these Pharisees who constantly are hounding him, coming to try to trap him, of his disciples, of whom he sees day after day and he teaches and talks to and he shows the signs of God. They see all these. He has them involved. He's training them. And yet still they don't understand. You can see the frustration that Jesus has in the middle of all this. What is he to do? And so Jesus does something about it, though. He takes a step back. He has been in the region of Galilee, a Jewish region, but he takes a step back and he goes further north into a Gentile area just to get away from some of these scribes and Pharisees and to think about and to be rejuvenated once again. To get away from these crowds that are hounding him for healing and for his word. To take a step back. He does something about his frustrations. Also in this lesson we have the mother. The mother who says that her daughter is possessed by a demon. That a demon is hounding her daughter. And the mother is just completely upset. I mean, as any parent would be upset when their child is sick or their child is in danger or their child is in trouble. That's what's consuming her life. And so she sees nothing but that worry and that trouble and that anxiety. There's a darkness hanging over her as well. Not until her daughter is healed will she also be healed and see the light. And she is a very determined woman. You know, it's amazing. God does come into our lives to lift that darkness, to bring us light, to bring us understanding, to take that frustration and that anger away from us. To the Pharisees, God sent his son Jesus. God came. Jesus came amongst them. He ate with them. He talked with them. He argued with them. But he was trying to change their way of thinking, of rather being so geared into the laws and the codes and their own egos, to actually see what's behind those laws and codes is worship of God, of love of God, and love of neighbor. Into the lives of the disciples, God sends his son, Jesus. Jesus, who comes among them and calls them to be his followers, to be his disciples, to learn from him so that they can go out and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. Also, to this woman who is troubled by her daughter, God sends his son, Jesus. Jesus, who does heal. Jesus, who does restore to wholeness, who brings back a healthy life for not only the daughter, but also for the mother. God also sends help to Jesus. Who does he send to Jesus? But he sends a pesky woman. He sends a pesky woman to Jesus. You can see here in this gospel, this woman is not going to give up. First, she starts to shout, "Help me, Jesus." And then she follows along with them, and she's constantly pestering them. And the disciples say, "Send her away, she's bothering us." And then she finally falls down on her knees in front of Jesus and pleads with him. She will not let go. And that is what brings Jesus out of this kind of dark mood, or out of his frustration. How many of y'all are messy eaters? Anybody a messy eater? There's some foods that I can't help but be a messy eater. One of those is corn on the cob. You know, you take that butter and you just slather it all over that corn on the cob, and you bite into it, and the juices just are there. And they start to run down your hands and down to your elbows, and if you look down, you got puddles on the table. The other one is watermelon. Watermelon is meant to be eaten outside. It is not an inside food, unless it's cut up in little bitty pieces and the seeds are taken out. There's no proper way to eat watermelon inside otherwise. Children are messy eaters. I remember as our children were growing up then too, after the end of the meal, you would pick up their plate to go put it at the sink or dishwasher, and the whole table would just be covered in crumbs and spilled juice or milk, all except the little round circle where the plate was. I remember growing up too, we were no exception as children. We were very messy. But we had a dog. And the dog loved mealtime, because inevitably there would be plenty of food that went on the floor, and the dog was very quick to pick it up. So what do you do with all of those crumbs, with all of those spills? You just wipe them up, you throw them in the garbage or down the sink or down the garbage disposal. With this woman in the test, in our gospel lesson this morning, is simply asking for those crumbs, those pieces that fall off. She knows that Jesus truly is the Son of God. And it doesn't take much from him to be able to heal.
She recognizes his power. And all she wants is a crumb. All she wants is a leftover. And Jesus sees that in her and he says, "Woman, how great is your faith?" And that's what lifts Jesus out of his mood. He sees that in this woman. You know, there's always a glimmer of hope. God sends people our way. God sends the Holy Spirit our way to call us back into worship, to call us back into faith. We simply just need to have that faith. We just simply need to have a little belief in Jesus Christ, belief in God, that God can take care of us and that God will take care of us to bring us that hope. Here in the text, we see that burden that Jesus is carrying, the frustration that people just don't get it, that people just don't understand, or they don't want to understand. They don't want to change their ways. They don't want to see that glimmer of hope. We see that weight that is put upon Jesus. But that is why Jesus came into this world. That's why God sent his Son into this world, to take that weight upon himself, to take that sin that all of us commit, to take that guilt, that worry, that darkness, that frustration, that anger, all of those burdens, and he takes it upon himself. Grace is free. Salvation for us is free, but it's not cheap. It does have a cost to it, and that cost Jesus Christ was willing to bear. He takes all of that upon himself and he dies on the cross. 3 days later, he rises from the dead and he gives us the promise that we have been made worthy to rise once again. That he has taken all those marks, all that darkness, all those sins upon himself. He erases all of that, takes it upon himself, and he says, "You are now worthy to rise again as well." There is always a glimmer of hope. There is always a crumb of knowing that God has the power to raise us, to bring us out of the gloom, to bring us out of the darkness, to bring us out of our worry, out of our frustration, out of our anger, so that we can be raised up, so that Jesus does say to us, "You have been healed. You may go on your way." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.